I want it all for my people. That's why I stand tall for my people. I always go hard for my people. I do the research and show the frauds for my people. I raise my kids for my people. And hopefully they will live for my people. I build a bridge for my people. I start a foundation that can give to my people. I'm trying to unify my people. But it's you put a plan for my people. I'm free and understand as a people. What we need to do to advance as a people. Education and finance for my people. Knowledge and self and my plan for my people. I want us to live as a people. And communities and for kids and other peaceful. Find it, don't deny it. Circle of strength and define it. Yeah, no, for my people, I will stand tall. Now for my people, I will stand. Now for my people, I demand y'all. Be right until you die your day. No, for my people, I will stand tall. Now for my people, I will stand. I'm in the lab for my people. Taking notes, checking facts for my people. The news try to distract and mislead you. Open up the hood, overreacting, but we do. I'm trying to live for my people. Be a role model of the kids for my people. Oh, not the disrespect or mistreat you. I shake to my future kings and queens to my people. I'm not a spark for my people. In the middle of the dark for my people. The pulse inside the heart for my people. Let's get this blood up and set the start for my people. I manifest for my people. What I say, I do confess for my people. No checkers on your chest for my people. I'm trying to teach us all to invest in our people. No, for my people, I will stand tall. Down for my people, I will stay. Now for my people, I demand y'all. Keep fighting until you die your day. No, for my people, I will stand tall. Down for my people, I will stay. Now for my people, I demand y'all. Keep fighting till you die your day. One independence for my people. Push up the lines and defenses for my people. We need to address and agree to break away from systems we assess that are evil. Because our people really need to rewrite the rules and all the law for our people. Control our own souls to release you. Live within the same communities that they pray to. Because I want freedom for my people. That we created for ourselves, for our people. I'm real, we can stand by and beat you. And that's the most bigger bullshit that they feed you. I want the steps to move the center for my people. No more protected planet weapons to my people. No more repressing here to fall to proceed to. Compromise the loyalty and greed for my people. No, for my people, I will stand tall. Yeah, that for my people, I will stay. I know my people not that man, y'all. Yeah, keep fighting till you die your day. No, for my people that will stand tall. Yeah, now for my people that will stay. Now for my people not that man, y'all. Yeah, keep fighting till you die your day. No, for my people that will stand tall. Now for my people that will stay. Now for my people not that man, y'all. Yeah, keep fighting till you die your day.
Welcome, 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 family, to another edition of Office Hours. I am your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones, and as always, I'm riding with my trusty co-pilot, Erica Tolbert. Erica, say hi to the people.
Hello, everyone.
Family, Erica is a little bit under the weather tonight, so we're going to have to lift her up and, send a light and energy. You know how we do. You know what I'm saying? We have to make sure we embrace the family, bring them up both physically and spiritually. So we're going to be bringing Erica up this week. Sorry, on the show. Tonight, Office Hours is brought to you by The Jewelry Drop. The Jewelry Drop. And you can go to thejewelrydrop.com and check out my sister Ellie's fine custom-made jewelry. All right, check out my homegirl. All right, also is sponsored by Head Darts, headdarts.com. You know, I'm wearing this hat right now for my brother Howard L. Howard L. is his, you know, king and queen. You know, Sister Leslie, Brother Howard, power couple working together to build. Also, family, we also have Heaven Sent, what is it, Heaven Sent Cleaners. All right, this is my sister Ella's, this is her personal business. So she goes around in the city and she does, you know, she does the housekeeping and things of that nature, cleans your house, keeps your house nice clean. Make sure y'all check out my sister. And what I'm gonna do as well is if you're on Facebook, I'm going to drop the, I'm gonna put it in the screen. I'm gonna drop it in chat. I'm gonna drop the photo in the chat so that y'all can have access to it. And if you're not on Facebook and if you're on YouTube, then what you're gonna, you're seeing the ad right now. So I'm posting it up, and this is for all the people who are rocking with the Independence Day Project, promoting and doing all those things. So I'm going through a few more ads, so hang with me, okay? I'm showing love to the sponsors. If you're not doing anything, family, and your car's dirty, we know in Philly and all up and down the East Coast, all the way to the Midwest, we're about to get a nasty nor'easter. You know what happens? The city goes out and they start to salt the roads, right? And you know what happens when that salt gets on your car paint, it's all cruddy, it scratches, it's abrasive. So the first thing you want to do, what you're going to want to do after the storm breaks is head down to my brother Lionel Car Wash at 1924 Honey Park Avenue here in Philadelphia. Make sure you check my brother out, the best cleaners, best car cleaner city. All right? I can't speak for your town, but I can speak for mine. All right? Knowing this brother all my life, he's done nothing but hire black people to work for him. Black people who would normally be breaking into your house, Lionel pulled them off the street and said, here, take this brush, take this towel, get this soapy rag, clean these cars. You know what I'm saying? Get this vacuum, let's do some detailing. My brother Lionel dragged them off, got them off the street. So y'all make sure y'all check out my brother Lionel at 1924 Honey Park Avenue, the cross street of Honey Park Avenue and Archer Street, one block east of 20th and Honey Park. All right? And finally, last but not least, family, because we know we represent the whole family. We represent the whole family. So we're not going out of the way. We got my sister, Kalila Carter. My sister, Kalila Carter. And she's rocking out right now. And she's presenting. And let me make sure everybody can see this on YouTube as well. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how we get down, family. All right? My sister, Kalila Carter, is having a presentation on February 3rd. Here in Philadelphia, 4032 West Girard Avenue between the hours of 2 and 5. This is for the sisters. All right, this is for the sisters. It's Owning Your Awesomeness, Women in Red Luncheon. Special guest publisher, Odessa White, keynote speaker, a COA of Christian Beauties, Teresa McCaskill. Okay, make sure y'all check that sister out. Dope family, you know what I'm saying? This is what we do, man. You know, we represent for the family. I see. Also, you listen, man, I'm going to shout out everybody, man. My brother Q Butters on the line, man, up in the chat. Shout out to Zyx Studios for allowing the Independence Day Project to shoot on the set. When you see that red brick background, that was in Zyx, family. And that's the man, that's my brother looking out for the community, y'all. He does that for everybody, man. You know, the Zyx is a community center, respite center for all of Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Specifically in Brownsville. So y'all make sure y'all check out my brother out there. They're looking for some volunteers right now to help out with some schooling, some schools. So when I get a chance, I'm going to put all those things in the chat so we're able to share all those things. Because, family, we got to build each other up. If we ain't building each other up, everybody else is going to break us down. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like I said, I'm going to try to make sure that I can upload some of these joints, pictures, and conversation. I don't know how to do that on the phone. I'm trying. But I'm going to figure it out. But I'm going to upload all this. Oh, one more thing, family. One more thing. And I'm going to put this up. I don't know how y'all going to see if it's backwards or whatever. But this is my brother. Yeah, okay. It looks good. It looks good. Looks a little shady on Facebook Live. But I'm explaining to you who he is. And I'm also going to upload him into the chat. But this is my brother, Hanif. And my brother, Hanif Shabazz. At all them, www.alldemdvds.com. www.alldemdvds.com. Also a proud sponsor of the Independence Day Project. And Brother Hanif is also going to be the distributor. That's right. We're going to have a black distributor for the all-black product, the Independence Day Project. We ain't playing no games, family. We ain't playing no games. I'm wearing all black products right here. This came out of a family coming out during the Million Man March. These sisters were selling this out of Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? We ain't playing no games. This is the takeover. You know what I mean? So what's going on, Erica? How you feeling?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm on top of the world right now. You know what I'm saying?
I see.
And listen, we're making progress. We're looking forward to, you know, being in Harlem at Harlem Liberation School January 29th. We're going to be unveiling the Independence Day Project. And it's a big day for me. And I didn't even realize it was a scheduling conflict because I'm actually teaching on that day and the schedules just really came out, the teaching schedule. So I'll be teaching on that day, but it's all well. We're going to work it out. You know, because I got to be in Harlem with the family and we got to be able to represent. Like I said, we will be having copies of the movie available if people are in the crowd. I'm not going to do the online thing just yet. You know, film festivals are kind of funny about that type of thing. But don't worry, family, it's going to be made available to the family soon. I promise you. So on tonight's docket, I know we said we were going to talk about the notion of cult consciousness as fandom and how we have to replace that with activism. We're only going to deal with that for a little bit because I feel like I did a live video a few days ago that sort of addressed that situation. One of the things we want to talk about tonight is we really want to get into this whole idea of swirling and have we gotten to the point where we are no longer willing to fight for black love. You know what I'm saying? Have we gotten to that point where we're no longer willing to fight for black love? And then a little later on in the show, we're going to also dip into getting off of this social media platform and getting onto some featuring some black-owned social mediums. Because as of right now, family, what's been happening, I'm going to tell you, I have been reported to Facebook about 3 times in the last 2 months. I know other people who have been suspended for like 30 days. Had the accounts. This is their platform. They let raving lunatic white supremacists who on record go out, shoot up schools, shoot up malls, things of that nature. Their pages are never infected. Their pages are never reported. But for some strange reason, our pages fall into that loop. So we're going to talk about some options, some plausible options, and why we should really consider moving on from Facebook, even YouTube, even though YouTube isn't as bad, but moving on to black-owned media. That's what we need to start focusing on, family, because right now we're talking about ownership. Independence Day Project, we're talking about black ownership. So that's what we're moving. So Erica, we have a line chat discussion, and we're in an alternative, I don't like how that's coming out, but we're into a different social media group called Line. Now Line is owned by the Japanese. It's not American owned, by European controlled. So we have a lot more liberty and a lot more freedom to communicate. So we have gotten off of Facebook for the most part. And pretty much Line is like being on the dark web. You know, so we've had a conversation and we have a Line group. And we had a conversation in a Line group recently talking about, there was a video out recently, a news story. The sister, Carrie Champion, I'm not sure if she's still on ESPN or whether she got fired. I don't know what she... what our current role is, but I do remember her from the show with Stephen A. Smith and the crazy lunatic white dude that would go back and forth. I think it's called.
She has a show, First Take. She's still on ESPN.
Okay, so she's still there with First Take. So they came out.
No, she's not on First Take, but she's on ESPN.
Okay, so she
has
another show.
I think on ESPN.
Okay, yeah, because I understand she couldn't work with Stephen A. Smith, and who could blame her? I couldn't work with that coon either. So the family, she was having a conversation, and the conversation was like an interview conversation slash, and they had gotten to they started talking about interracial dating. And there was one sister on there was like, nah, I can't really get into interracial dating, this, that, and the other. And Carrie was like, well, wow, you never dated interracially? And so she started breaking down about she started breaking some things down, and I want to be fair to her. Carrie Champion is married to a black man, so let's just put that out there now. She's married to a black man, so I think she might have been talking about her dating life before. But she was going into how, because black men and black women have so much of a struggle, just being black, that it's often easier to date outside of the race because other groups don't have to deal with the daily struggles of black people. You know what I'm saying? So, and she was making a conversation with, so that was part of the conversation. Erica, you remember, I believe we talked about this a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So what was your take on that?
I'm sorry, I was going to go with it. I see often because, you know, I have a few friends, black females, that are somewhat successful, and it is hard for them to find a black man to meet this, and a lot of them are here lately saying that they want to date outside of their race. A lot of them are dying to pick up with a black man, and I think it's the same for some black men. It's because they don't have to deal with the struggle. We often hear black women talk about black women always settling for the struggle alone. But I do think that typically some of us think that when we're dating outside of our race, we're going to have it easier. For black women, we feel like that we're going to be treated better. You know, we don't have to deal with the black man trying to hustle, trying to find his own, trying to, you know, they don't have to deal with the white supremacy attacking them because they are white supremacy. So I think that more and more and more, some of us feel like we struggle with the black person and have to deal with the struggle. It's so much easier if we date someone that doesn't have to struggle for money, have to hustle for money, don't have to deal with white supremacy being on their back every day.
It's wild because, I'm glad you interjected the whole idea of class, right? I'm glad you interjected that particular perspective because what I've found is, especially because I went to college, man, I went to Bloomsburg University. And like I would tell everybody, particularly slutty white girls, and I have to call them what they were. They would literally camp outside of the dorms, the apartments, and the houses that black men resided in. And they would literally stay out there, and I'm talking about, when I saw how the brothers would treat them like absolute dirt, the trash, the scum of the world. They would, but see, those girls, they would buy them like video games and sneakers. And at that time, you know, because of how corrupt our value system was, they knew how to manipulate us to get them. But I'm not going to say us because I ain't take shit off nothing except some fried chicken. There's one chick, I mean, I ain't going to put her name out there, but she used to bring fried chicken to the whole team every night because she worked at Hardee's, right? So I'm sitting there knocking shit over. But the bottom line is when in terms of like dating brothers, you know, most of them, in college, most of the brothers didn't really date the white chicks. They smutted them. And what I mean by that is they was just, you know, nasty sex, give me some video games and get the hell out. And I, you know, but when you talk about class and you talk about the income bracket, we talk about people who consider successful and people who are making near six-figure salaries. That conversation changed because those brothers and brothers that was on that track, there was a whole different caliber of white women that they were going after. They didn't feel as though sisters measured up, for one, and then they would go after those white women, particular, you know, those types of white women, and they themselves would subject themselves to shit that I would not expect for them to subject black women to. Like, for instance, white women could talk shit to them, and they would be like, okay, honey, okay, dear, you know, handling it with kid gloves. Whereas the sister was talking, you know, trash to them, whatever, talking, we consider snapping at them. They'd be like, hold the phone, who are you talking to? And they'd be ready to check her. And then I see the same thing on the other half of it, where I saw a lot of sisters, well, I personally, I ain't never seen sisters slum it with white dudes in, on college, all right? The college campus and in that world, I've never seen a sister in college deal with you know, pudgy looking, ratty looking white dude. All right. I just didn't see that. But what I did see was some of the sisters who would go to these frat houses and they would become like camp frat house whores. And what I mean by that is they themselves allowed themselves to be manipulated and sexually objectified by these white dudes. And they'd be the same sisters on campus talking about black men don't respect black women. And you know what I'm saying? So it's like a catch 22. Now, fast forward to, you know, adult age, whatever, you know, post-college, you talk about 25 and up, you know, then I started to see a paradigm switch with, and it's just not just with the, with brothers, because there was always the case that, you know, the athlete, the wealthy brother, you know, with all the clean-shaved brother would always be after white women. That was always a stereotype, right? And then the athlete would always be after white women. Now, we know that there's systems that were put in place to create that chasm, and we know that when the, like, these agents for athletes would surround these brothers with white women and strategically understand the white supremacy. Now, we understood that it was because they were playing the long game, where you get these white women, athletes don't tend to live long, they tend to, you know, blow their money, but they still don't tend to live long. And whatever wealth is generated by that black athlete is going to be reciprocated back into the white community through her. Now, so we understood the game. Now, we didn't understand it then. But recently, more recently, I've seen the turn of the tide. And it's through promotion, really, really clever promotion and suggestive programming, that I've seen more sisters with white men coming out lately. And I'm not saying, listen, let me be clear, family, this is not an epidemic in the black community, all right? Just be clear about this. This is not an epidemic in the black community. 85% of black men marry black women. 95% of black women marry black men. So you're talking about a very small percentage of our community that actually engages actively in swirling, all right? So let's just put it out there, all right? That's the facts. Those are the stats. You can look them up, all right? Now, what I've seen, though, is that now, because movies and television and commercials have made and have repeatedly put these images out there over and over again. You had Dateline TV show talking about how the whole concept is there's no successful black men. So these black women are in the wilderness, they're in the desert, and there's nothing, you know, no brothers available to them. You know, and then this white man comes out shining and gleaming and he smiles, teeth sparkles and shit. You know what I'm saying? And that's sort of like started to catch on a little bit. And I'm really talking about like in terms of like celebrities and stuff. But you still don't really see a big part of that in, you know, regular, average, everyday people. Erica, what have your experiences? Because you work in a place where you see black professional women. And a lot more black professional women than you see black professional men. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay. So what are your experiences in talking to those women in regards to dating? Do y'all even engage in that conversation of dating outside of the race, who you would deal with, so forth and so much and so forth?
Yeah, a lot of my black female coworkers, but first of all, it works. It's probably a handful of single black men, like a handful. Mm-hmm. When I tell you, we take 1, 2, 3, 4, of the building. And I know some of them have 2 and 3 chicks on each floor, the single black men.
Damn.
And I just sit back and I laugh because we are predominantly black females. And they're either ex-military or college educated, and then some are both. So it's a lot of men there who are typically, the men are ex-military. Some do have degrees, but they have their share. Like, where I work is a black man's, like, dream, because it's so many black women.
Got any applications?
And we all shapes, all shapes, sizes, ages. Like, it's a ton of black women there. And there are extremely, a lot of attractive black women at my job. And the bulk of them, I think, are single. So, you know, you do get a few of them that shift tired of what they consider some of the games that the black men play. So in their mind, they're like, okay, I'm going to date a white man because it's not going to be this way. And I think they get that because they're on the outside looking in. and sit there on the outside looking in and really don't know what it's like to truly be a black, you know, a white male. So in their mind, being a white male is way better than what they get from being a black man. But it's simply because they don't know. And I told y'all not to get years ago, I had a cousin post on Facebook that her next relationship was going to be with a white man. And she lived all these things that she was going to do before she pursued a white man. From fixing her credit, you know, changing her attitude, doing just a whole list of things. And I looked at it, and there was a lot of black females amen in that post and agreeing that they were going to get themselves together for a white man. And I got pissed off by it. So I'm thinking to myself, why in the heck do you think that a black man is going to want to put up with you in the way that you are, the way that you are now, but you don't get your credit together, you're going to fix your mouth, you're going to do this, you're going to do that for a white man. Like, a man, for the most part, men are typically the same. If a white man don't want to hear your damn mouth, a black man don't either. Like, don't nobody want to hear nagging. So, some of us just have this unrealistic idea or perception of what the other races tolerate, what they put up with, what they aren't willing to accept. Even right now, like you said, with the whole women, black women are willing to be a little more sexual deviant for white men. I just heard a black woman in her 40s the other day said she would never put her mouth on her man's private part. And I sat there and I looked at her thinking to myself, I mean, I always think black women are so promiscuous. Like, that myth. But like you said,
I can
it's
tell you
an
that's
unwritten rule, I guess, for black women. It's an unwritten black rule for women that, you know, that, you know, we have to be less promiscuous or we have to be more conservative. And because we've always been painted that way, when white women could be on Girls Gone Wild and she could marry a king and she's gonna be treated like a princess.
Wow.
And her horniness, i.e. Melania Trump, I never get brought up. But god damn it, if Michelle Obama show a little arm. But Melania Trump posed nude. It's that you know,
it's a double standard.
We black women always have to be on defense when it comes to our sexuality. But it's understood, okay, well, if I'm gonna get with this white man, he's gonna treat me like gold, so I'd be a little more freaky. Because it's that pay to play thing. And he's gonna pay me a little bit more, so I'm willing to degrade myself just a little bit more. Not saying it's degrading, but in their mind, I'm willing to do a little bit more to be with this white man. Because the black man ain't offering me nothing. And he ain't getting all my goodies for free. But this black with white man, he gonna take care of me. He gonna spend money on me. He gonna shower me with all these diamonds. Because again, we on the outside looking in, and we assume that white women get treated like princesses. So he's gonna treat me like a princess. So I'm willing to do these things to get treated that way.
And that's wild, because you're right, it is a perception, a false perception. And I've been in these houses. And I think black people are so concentrated and so jaded because a lot of us don't really get to experience things outside of our community. Like, for instance, and this is not funny, but it's funny as hell. When I was working as a learning community instructional leader, which is sort of like a small school principal at CEP, Community Education Partners here in Philly, and we had took our seniors on a trip to New York. When we got on the bus, as soon as we went into Jersey, the children, because we crossed the bridge, none of them ever crossed the bridge before. They immediately, they were like, yo, where we at? I said, yo, we in Jersey. So all of them start getting on their cell phones, right? And this is kind of embarrassing, being this talk with my damn senior. They started calling their people and like, yo, I'm in another country. And I'm like, hold up, you in Jersey. Like, it might look a little different, but it's still part of the country. We're still in America. And I take that, and then, you know, I look at some of the children that were in that community, learning community, who they had to go to Center City, which is downtown Philly. And they were like, yo, how do I get there? And I'm like, your whole life you've never been to the metropolis of your city? They're like, nah, I've never left my neighborhood. So a lot of us, I think, on a larger scale, deal with those same things, where we're not part, or we're compartmentalized in our thinking and our logic because we haven't been exposed to all these different races and cultures. So we live out, we you know, the predictive programming, which you see on television and what you get fed to you in the media, becomes sort of the reality, the perception of that becomes reality. So the perception of what white men present and what they bring to the table is far different than what they actually do. And I can say this because I've been in their houses. I don't know how many times I gotta say, like, the people who houses I've been in, they're probably gonna find me one day and string my ass up for letting out all these secrets. But I done seen it where you go into the houses and there's holes in the wall from them fat having fights. The wife showing up with black eyes, she tried to cover the shit with mascara. You know, the abusive, the alcohol abuse and the drug abuse because they can't deal with, you know, their situation. And how violent they are and how nasty they are too. I mean, in front of the children, I've seen husbands call their wife, "You filthy skank whore, you dirty, nasty slob. Clean, get my effing food, this, that, and the other before I get mad up in here." They treated their dogs better than they treated their women. And I'm like, yo, I need to be like taking like candy camera. I need to be video recording this shit. But but the bottom line is, family, yo, the mirage is real. Like, I know people that have been in some crazy ass, like sisters that have been in some crazy ass relationship with white women. I know brothers who have been in some key relationships with white women. I know that, so the question I have, Erica, in regards to all this is, the biggest thing we often hear is the reason why people swirl is because they feel as though it's easier to date outside of the race, that there's not, that the person that they're dealing with is not going to give them the hassle that they receive from the match or their mate within this race, within our community specifically, because you don't hear nobody else saying that shit. You don't hear white guys saying, "I date black women because I'm tired of white women." They say, "I date black women because I love black women." So what do you think about that, Erica?
It's absolutely true. One of my friends, her brother, dates white women. And I just sit back and I watch their interaction. And when I tell you, this white woman, she's all about this man. Like, she doesn't watch sports. But on Sunday, go have a family dinner, and him and his brother, they're out. They'll go to the bar and watch the game while we're getting around, getting dinner together. She is constantly checking the score of the game so that she won't have to respond to him when he comes home, when he comes back from the bar. Everything about her, everything, when we're just sitting around talking to females, she's never talking about herself, her wants, her dreams, her aspirations. She's not talking about anything outside of him. Literally, her whole conversation and everything is him. To the point where I was talking to my friend, sister, because I'm friends with both of the sisters. She was like, "I told my brother that if you ever leave this one, she'll kill herself." Because everything in her life is about him. Everything. She lives to please this man. And my friend one time told me, I tell my brother, "You only date white women because you know, like hell, ain't no black woman gonna put up with the stuff you pull." And he was like, "Of course. But this white woman didn't key this car. She didn't beat herself up and said he did it. She didn't do something." So when black men think that white women don't go crazy, remember, they could be evil. So of course they have craziness in them. But with that being said, again, I just sit back and watch her interaction with him. I watch, again, her conversation. Not once have we ever had a conversation and she talked about herself. She's either complaining about his ex-wife and dogging his ex-wife out, or she's talking about him, something about pleasing him, something that he likes, something that he wants. Now, with that being said, black women are looking at that and say, "I'll never be about my man. Like, it's just too much." Because we do things in a negative light sometimes. Not all black women, but some of us do. From some things I've gathered from her, a lot of black women don't take interest in some of the things that their black men are into, to the point where I heard someone complain the other day because their husband decided that this year he was going to be a vegetarian. And she told me he's making my job harder, right? He's into all this stuff and he don't want the kids to do Christmas because it's the devil's day. And, you know, she's just complaining because he's just listening to her because he's younger than her. He's going through that phase in his life where he's breaking away from the things that he wants to believe in. And we've all gone down that journey. And it can be a tad bit confusion, confusing when you don't have the right surroundings, when you don't have anyone there to help you along the journey. And I can imagine it being even harder when you have a wife and your wife isn't supporting your journey.
Right.
She's not trying to figure out what your journey is about. She don't care about it because she's looking at it as it's being making causing a burden on her. We was at work today talking about that dude that played on Power, the one who's married to the light runner. I don't watch the show, so I don't know Harvey. He used to be on Being Mary Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my supervisor, who's a black man, been married to the same black woman for over 20-some years, had beautiful black babies with his black woman. Like, he said, because he had never heard of Power before. He's the lamest person. Oh, gosh, my supervisor's so lame. But he was like, he was asking, he said, if he a brother, and they was like, he married to a sister? They was like, now you already know. I was like, he's married to a white woman. So what, before the black woman knocked it, I had to let them know his explanation. Mm-hmm. Just as though I said, he's married to this white woman because he said that this white woman supported him during their struggle. Not to say that I was supporting their relationship. That's not my place to support it or not to support it. But to let some black women know that four black women that were standing around talking, this black man said he's stuck by this white woman's side because she supported him during his struggle. Was it true or not? That's neither here or there. But the moment we do start supporting some of these men, not all of them, you got to pick and choose which ones you want to, you know, support.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to use that as an excuse. Because I see all the time where black women, we don't take, we don't care about sometimes, not all, what our men are interested in. It's a thing within the black community. If we don't understand that we knock it, if we don't know about something, we don't choose to get educated on it. We see it as an enemy, so we don't learn about what it is. If you have a significant other and he's interested in something, you don't know about it, you learn it so that you could grow with him. So either you're going to learn about it and grow with him or let him grow on his own and y'all going to grow apart. But those are things we don't think about because, again, we look at it as a play on, well, he's doing something without me, or it's making my job harder, or I don't want to learn about that. That's not what I grew up on. That's nasty. I don't like this. We are not open-minded at all. We black women, I think we are extremely closed-minded due to the fact that we're not exposed. When you're not exposed to something, you're not able to open your mind to it. And black women tend to be extremely closed-minded when it comes to sex. We're closed-minded compared to a lot of other women. When it comes to our eating, we're closed-minded compared to other races. When it comes to being supportive and learning new things, we tend to be more closed-minded than other races.
Damn. All right, well, I'm glad that came out of your mouth and not mine. Holy shit. You imagine? But, I mean, you make some valid points in regards to the things. It's like almost, and I don't want to put the blame on the sisters because there's some things brothers won't do either. You know, brothers, you know, we won't change, you know, certain things that got us into the relationship that, you know, we sort of, once we get comfortable, we stop those things. You know, the flowers and all that good stuff. Taking a, you know, going out, and you know, we got comfortable with past dating stage. So now it's all okay. Let's just lay up. You know, so I'm not gonna put it all on the sisters, but I do understand what you mean when you say that a person is pining for their position. Because let me just explain something, family. Black people are the only people that marry for love. Black people in America, rather, are the only black people that marry for love. And a desire to be with somebody. Most other groups do so, they're making a business merger. So when they see relationships, they look at it from a perspective of, I am going to be this person's partner, and they look at it as a partnership. They don't look at it as, you know, you took these vows, this, that, and the other. That's why you have all these white men out there cheating on their women, and the white woman that they cheated on is standing right next to them at the podium talking about, I forgive them. You know what I'm saying? I forgive them. Because, you know, this merger, this partner, you know, the family's going to come up, and we need to maintain this. You think Bill and Hillary Clinton were a happy couple? Them motherfuckers can't stand each other. And yet and still, you know, even with the nasty stain on that dress, Hillary Clinton stood by her man. You know, well, they're both in competition for who they like, but I ain't going to go there. But the bottom line is, family, when we start talking about those, you know, swirling and this, that, and the other, and we when we really look at the idea, is black love worth fighting for, Erica? I guess that's the question that we really want to ask. Like, is it really worth the fight? To fight for black love, or should we just let people go buy on me bygones? Because I got my personal opinion about it, and I'll share that a little later. But what do you say? Is black love worth fighting for, or should we just cut our losses and just say, you know, the go with the with some popular millennial term now is you love who you love.
Did you see my message I sent you? But yeah, of course it is. Of course it's worth fighting for. My thing is, in order to spend the rest of your life with someone, you have to love them. You don't have to stay in love with them. So I tell people, staying in love, and this is only my personal opinion, not good for much, but being in love, that feeling that you get when you're in love with someone, to me, is a temporary emotion, just like anger, hate, sadness. It's temporary. You're not going to feel it all the time. But just like you are mad at a person, you get over it. If you're angry at a person, you get over it. If you're sad, you get over it. And you go through those cycles of those emotions. It's the same with being in love. Not all of us going to be in love, that feeling of just, you know, you can't stop thinking about them. You're not going to be that way about a person that you're living with for 20, 30 years. Because at some point, you're going to be in love, you're going to be angry, you're going to be mad, you're going to be upset, you're going to be awkward with them. But it's extremely important to love them and like them. Not like everything about them, but like them enough that, hey, this is the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. But again, because being in love is not going to last long, and that's why black love doesn't last, if that's going to be the same. Black love doesn't last because we don't realize that being in love isn't meant to last. You're not meant to be in love every moment for 50 years, but you're meant to love that person, and you're meant to love that person enough that you're going to build with them. Mm. Whether you're building a family, whether you're building a business, you're enough to build something. For 50 years, you should have built something. And nowadays, what black people need to learn and to realize is we need to learn to build wealth, not just building families. That's important to have to pass on that wealth, but we have to build something other than building drama, building and spreading diseases, rumors, lies, hate. Those are the only things we're learning to build with one another. So again, it's one of those we have to reteach. I tell my kids that don't marry someone because you're in love with them. That's not going to last. And I always point to them, I was in love with your father at one point. I loved the hell out of them. But at the end of the day, that love didn't last. Do I still love them? I love what we built together. I love those babies we created together. That's why your love has to last longer than that temporary emotion of being in love. Your love has to last long enough that you could build something. And that something should be building wealth, because we're not going to last as a race if we don't learn to build wealth with one another. And then not just learning to build wealth with your partner that you're in a relationship with, But learning y'all two coming together, I did Uber for a couple of hours for New Year's Eve. The first pickup I had was in the wealthiest part of the neighborhood I live in. It's like many mansions. And when I got the directions and I turned it in the country club, I was like, oh, I'm going where the money is tonight. And when they got in, it was a whole bunch of attorneys. And they're passing by buildings. They're talking about, you know, such and such don't own that bar anymore. Such and such and such and such. But every time they talked about who owned a business, they never said it was one person. You know, their friends, you know, they got together and they bought this bar, but they sold it and they got.
Wow.
It was always group economics. Now, we had an hour wide. I was in the band with them for a whole hour. And we passing up bars, even downtown St. Louis. They pointed to one bar. The dude was like, yeah, you know, the dude I sold my last house to, him and some of his friends on this bar right here.
Damn.
They never said. So when you get with and your partner and y'all learning to build, learn to get with other couples who have the mindset of building and y'all team up together and build together.
That would piss me off. I probably would have pushed their ass. I would have drove by a dark ass neighborhood and pushed them in the alley someday. And let me guess, these are Caucasians, right?
Of course they were white people.
Right. And that's the you know, the illness of it all, you know. When we see they know how to hoard wealth. I mean, not just hoard wealth, but they also know how to, you know, make wealth, you know, available, you know, to themselves. And it's just heartbreaking sometimes to think about how we sort of like get overly emotional and don't look at the business aspect we don't tend to look at the business aspect of how a community needs to come together. We don't look at the business aspect of relationships, and it's unfortunate because that aspect is part of, you know, talking about building the community. Well, you can't build a community unless you can build healthy relationships and create healthy families. And having that understanding, I think you brought up something that was really important, is that being in love is like a season. You can be in love with somebody off and on, but when you genuinely love somebody, then that pushes you past all of the problems, all of the heartache, all of the mistakes, all of the bad judgment, all of those different things that we tend to look at. And it makes life easier, being open. You know, we're so used to being hurt by people we look like because of vicinity, you know, because we're only around Black people. So the only pain we really know is pain from Black people. You know, that plays a part in who you choose. Whereas, yeah, we can think globally about the effects of white supremacy, but we don't personalize it because personally, we don't have any real relationships with white folks for the most of us. So when you start to get into that sphere, when you start seeing, you know, how you start being in those circles, and then they put on that facade where, you know, they're all nice and proper and neatly dressed, and you know, how then every weekend you talk about the struggle. I just came back from fishing. Oh, me and the boys just went hunting. Oh, we just came back from vacation. And you start living, and you start, whoa, shit. Man, I was just trying to get enough sleep in this weekend to get back out there on Monday. And you living like this, you know, how can I get down? So I think a lot of it is based on traumas internally, and then a false narrative or a false version or false view of what we perceive to be outside. It's like, you know, we're looking at things from a perspective of, you know, like a fairy tale. And in the fairy tale, everything is perfect. So you want to live that fairy tale life. You know, a lot of people want to live that fairy tale life, and they think that that's going to be offered because they grew up watching Happy Days. Well, not some of y'all. I'm telling my age now. But you grew up watching, you know, Michael J. Fox. Grew up watching, you know, and then you got the Remington Steels, the distinguished European white man, right? And all these different things. You present those into a sister, and then you start interjecting Black women. You know what I'm saying? You can start interjecting Black women in those circles. You know, you put Halle Berry in a James Bond movie. You know, oh shit, it's a big step up. No. It's just as bad as when you put her in Monsters Ball and you let Billy Bob Thornton bang the hell out of her. You know, it's just as bad, but the perception is different. You know, no black woman wants to be the Halle Berry that Billy Bob Thornton was knocking off in Monsters Ball, but they would. It's a lot that wouldn't mind being that black woman that was in the 007 movies. And Proof Be Positive is the reaction of a lot of sisters when they would watch Scandal. And I'm going to tell you, in watching Scandal had to be some of the realest shit I've ever seen, now that I'm really taking a chance to really break it down in terms of the relationship between white men, white women, and the term. Because in that particular television show, the first few episodes I watched, because I used to get on you for watching it, and I said, well, let me see what all the fuss is about. It's a real good show. And I ain't gonna lie, it's a real good show. But the messages you get from it is crazy. What I saw was basically that president was raping the shit out of the sister. What was her name? What was the sister's name? Erica?
And that's your show. He wasn't raping the crap out of her.
Let me tell you why in a minute, but go ahead.
Kerry Washington. Today we were talking about it at work. One second, my fiance was like, "Yeah, I used to watch Scandal, but I got tired of watching her run behind that white man. It just used to piss me off. I was tickled by it."
Right.
She stopped watching it because Kerry Washington was still running up behind a white man.
No, but she was. But here's the deal. He was, when she was trying to break it off, he was physically aggressive with her. He would grab her. Grab her by the arm aggressively, throw her down on the bed. She was pushing away from him. He forced his tongue down her throat. Now, last I checked, that was sexual assault. Am I wrong or am I right? Based on the shit that's been reported lately in Hollywood, Harvey Weinstein, and that's way worse than anything, than most of the stuff that Bill Cosby was accused of, right? Like, so I'm looking at some of those scenes. I'm just saying. It's like, so I'm looking at some of those scenes, and I'm like, wow, he's mad aggressive with this sister, snatching her up, throwing her around, doing all this kind of wild shit. Like, what the, you know, so I'm looking at this from a perspective like, yo, are you crazy? Are you kidding me? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, when she was dealing with the brother in that series, and it's crazy as Shonda Rhimes wrote this, another sister wrote this, shout out to Shonda Rhimes, she wrote this, right? But she was treating the brother, who was like the head, he was the most powerful black man in the country, he was the senator, blah, 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 and she treated him like trash, and he was pining for her, and she wouldn't give him the time of day, but then she was like letting this white dude just yank her chain, he's married, yank her chain, and all sorts of things, and I'm like, but then you look at their relationship, his relationship with his wife. His wife knew that he was banging Kerry Washington, and yet and still, the business aspect of that relationship allowed her to maintain a sort of semblance of normalcy out of that irrational situation, which is crazy. It was crazy, but that's kind of how, I guess that's what we're talking about, isn't it? How crazy this all is, but it's just like, wow, this is a real rendition of the shit that's going on. And so, and my perspective on the whole concept before we go too far is, I'm black first all day, every day. I don't give a damn how light skinned I am. I'm black first all day, every day. All right? Hey, y'all laugh. Some of the most radical black people were light skinned. Malcolm X, everybody do that Malcolm X. Y'all know Malcolm X was my complexion? Yeah, those black and white photos don't do no justice. Thank you, yes. Malcolm X was my complexion. That's one for the light skinned brothers in his house. Like, no, I don't want to get into that because I don't play the colorism game with us. And you can't take a joke because we can't joke about certain things in our community. So, but the bottom line is, black love is the ultimate thing we're fighting for. And this is, you know, just coming from me. Black love is the ultimate thing we're fighting for us. And we need to, because our community's survival is dependent on it. For one, we're not going nowhere. And you can talk, you know, I had a conversation with a young sister over the weekend at a Kwanzaa celebration. She's very, very, you know, very sharp young sister, you know, she has her own clothing line, things of that nature, but she considers herself to be a millennial, which is something, you know, I have a problem with black people being any subset instead of being black. But her thing was, you know, she said, as millennials don't even look at race anymore. And then, you know, for her generation, she's not going to teach her children about race being an issue. Her generation after that's going to teach them even less. And by the time it gets down the line, race will be a non-factor in America. And I looked at her and I said, sweetheart, a lot of generations tried that shit before you, and only to get their wake-up calls. You know, I said, so your grandparents' generation tried that shit, got their wake-up call with desegregation. Your parents tried that shit, you know, in the workforce, got that shit with workplace layoffs in 2018, this, any other. That would be her great-grandparents' desegregation. All the other stuff that happened in the 60s and 70s when there was a lot of infiltration of black organizations. Yeah, big Negro wake-up calls. And then you go on and on and on throughout history. And so it's funny because it's like the millennials don't study history. She didn't even know that in 2017 that the black identity extremism was a form that was a characteristic that was put out there by as a terrorist that was put out there by the FBI, labeling people who are proud to be black as potential terrorists, you know, and a potential threat to local law enforcement. So,
you know what? It's crazy that you experienced that. And I screenshotted that article I read online, Deborah Messing from the one show, She Come On After Friends, Will and Grace. Mm-hmm. Her, they was at a baseball game, and her son told her, I don't want to stand for the pledge because I'm not proud of this country. So her son said, Mama, do I have to stand for the pledge? She said, and told her son, no, you don't have to stand for the pledge if you're not proud. And he said he's not proud of the way that black people get treated in this country. She said, she looked at her son and she sat down with him, right? Mm-hmm. So I screenshotted this and I sent it in a line group because out of the whole article, this was the most powerful part of the article. Active duty U.S. Army officer, writer, and commentator Johnny Hunt told Fox and Friends Monday morning that Messing's viral post shows we cannot take patriotism for granted anymore. We have to instill these values in the next generation and be intentional. And the key word for me was definitely intentional about how we do it. Intentional about how we're going to instill white supremacy in the next generation. So again, while they're speaking on code in plain sight in front of us, because when I read that, I'm like, he said, wait a minute. Some of these white people forgetting that what white supremacy and white dominance is about. Some of them are not on code. So in order for us to get back on code, we need to do it. We need to be very careful and intentional about how we teach our kids about white supremacy and white dominance going forward. That's what he said.
And listen, this is the second time in like, 2 weeks that we've come across a group of Europeans that feel that way about interjecting into their culture, giving into their culture. There was those two wealthy Jewish men that just died recently. And in their wills, they purposely made sure that they gave money to Jewish foundations because they owed it to their community and to the future of their community.
No, it was a Jewish couple that did that.
Oh, Jewish couple, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a couple that did that.
So, what we're looking at, family, is this is, you know, other communities, they take nationhood seriously. They don't take any infringement against their nationhood lightly. And these are the things that we need to start talking about because the greatest mindfuck of all time has to be convincing black people that somehow, as the most discriminated against group in the world, we should be the most tolerant because we understand being discriminated against. Yet and still, all the other groups that we need to be tolerant to and we need to open up our floodgates for, all these other groups can still maintain their solidarity, can still maintain their nationalism, and can still maintain their closed doors when it comes to including us in anything, specifically wealth building. Anything that has anything to do with wealth generation, anything that has access to resources, they can lock the door shut on us. And you can talk that shit all you want, but in Africa, 93% of the wealth leaves the continent. Not just the country, the continent, whether it's the gold trade, whether it's the silver trade, whether it's the, you know, the coltan trade. you know, whether it's the diamond trade, you know, whether it's the newly found oil that they, the oil reserves, all those different things, they're still coming into our backyard.
All those minerals and metals for the cell phones.
Right. And they're coming into our backyards for these things, and not just them. The Asians are jumping in, the Chinese are saying, fuck it, you do, I can do better. You know, and they're going into not just Africa. The Chinese are going into Africa, they're going into the Caribbean, they're going into South America, and they're occupying all these black spaces around the world. You know, so all these other groups, when it comes to being nationalism, they take nationalism seriously. We keep playing with the shit. And this, you know, so the conversation about, you know, Rosie, see me, I'm not indifferent to people who have, like, who want to swirl, who want to have those relationships. I'm not mad at you. I don't want y'all to feel that way. You know, I still got love for you. But there's certain places that y'all can't go with us anymore. Y'all can't come into the conference room when we're deciding on the fate of the community. Y'all could be assistants. Y'all could offer assistance. But y'all can't come because y'all have pillow talk. And then pillow talk leads to treachery and other things. And other things and other places in your community where your wife is going to snitch. She's going to snitch. Why? Because we're talking about offing her husband in the morning. We're talking about taking over a community. And I'm joking about the offering a husband thing. And just let y'all know, I don't want nobody, a fucking fed showing up at my house on no bullshit. But you know, we're talking about where we're planning on taking our business and how we're planning on taking, looking at certain areas and how we're planning on building and incorporate. We can't bring your ass in that room. We can't bring you in that room. We can't bring you into those meetings. You know, now if you got funding, you should do your due diligence and your part and fund what we're putting together. Fund it, because best believe your black ass is only hanging on by a thread. That white woman, all she has to say is that you raped her. She go in the mirror, beat herself up in the bathroom, and come out and say that you did it. And there's no way you're getting out of it. That white man can sit down and have plantation sex with you, sis, all day long. And as soon, a little gassy tonight. And soon, as you start acting crazy and foul, he can set your ass up for a crime. He can set your ass up for some type of embezzlement. He can set your ass up saying you stole some shit. Or he can ruin you, you know, through public the court of public opinion. You know, you can say, oh, he raped me, and then your background is brought up. Your background is trash, because that's how the corporate media works. So, you know, family, listen, if you're a brother and you got a white chick and you're a sister and you got a white dude, listen, I ain't mad at you, but just know that there's certain parts of the playground you can't come to. You can't play in these certain circles in the playground. It's just certain parts of it. So, you know, I ain't
but
mad.
But you know what?
Huh? Yeah.
Even with that being said, every plan isn't meant for everybody to know. I mean, you could be married to a black woman, and you could be pro-black or vice versa. Everybody should know every part of the plan regardless, and that's something we have to be okay with. We have to be okay with, if there are four pieces of the puzzle, there's only one person that's going to know three pieces, another person knows two pieces, another person knows other two pieces, and they do what they're supposed to do to bring all pieces of the puzzle together, and that's how we pull it together. Everybody, I told you I got a ton of best friends that I talk to my friends every day. And if I don't talk to them every day, we're going to talk every other day. We're going to video chat. We're going to text. We're going to call one another. All my friends don't know all my business. Mm-hmm. Even to my closest friends. I jokingly say, my friends, when I die, when I have to get together and piece together who I am as a person. Because mm-hmm. everybody don't know everything about me. And I personally keep it that way for a reason. Because everybody should know every single detail. Your significant other, that's a whole other ballgame. When it comes to us building, generate, independence, all of that, if you are truly about independence, you got to be okay with knowing that your role is that you can't know everything. And that's just the way it has to work.
Right.
When it's a war going on, everybody doesn't know. You on a mission, and all you know is, my job is to fulfill this part of the mission. But you don't know what that complete mission is. And again, if you want to win any battle in life, you got to be okay with going in that role and not knowing every part that's playing when it comes to that poker.
Well, and let me explain something else. If you happen to be married with somebody that's not black, you don't need to know none of the motherfucking puzzle. You just need to know we're putting the puzzle. You might not even need to know we're putting the puzzle together. You just need to know you leave your bread here. And I'll holler at you later when things complete. You can see the nice shiny outcome. But you, I don't even want you knowing where the factory is. You know what I'm saying? But you're right, Erica. Yeah. And on a grander scale, you're right. We have to be more we have to be more strategic in how we disseminate information. We need to be Manhattan Project-like, where people were putting this bomb together and they didn't realize, they didn't even know what they were putting together. They were putting shit together, they putting this piece here, what did this go to? I don't know, just put it together. They just seen the instructions. You know, next thing you know, they're blowing shit up in Japan. They're like, oh, we did that shit? Yeah, and the government said, you can't say shit. And if you say something, it's punishable by 10 years in jail, or you have to pay a fine of $10,000. Okay? Literally. And I'm not making that part up, that's real. That's actually a real part of the whole contract that people signed with the whole idea of the Manhattan Project. They had to sign that disclosure.
With the atomic bombs, all of that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
And doing a job to a parent, you only know what you need to know for that part of your job. It's like that in a government period. So I promise you, I could go to somebody that's over me and I could ask a question, and it's like, they look at you like you're crazy for asking a question, because maybe you never thought, because it's one of those, you don't ask questions, you do what you're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way when you're working and you're for the greater good of something, you have to be okay with,
right?
Okay, this isn't meant for me to know. For the greater good of what we're trying to accomplish, everything just isn't meant for you to know.
Exactly.
You know what? Even with Pat, when y'all were doing a curriculum, that wasn't a part of my job. We'll get on the news.
Hold on, Eric. You're giving out the secrets. Okay. You're giving out the secrets. We ain't nobody know about that. We ain't nobody know what we're doing. We told Erica some shit and she's telling everybody.
Whatever. I've been talking about that curriculum a million times. But I was okay with not going when y'all would have y'all meetings at night. I was okay. Patrick was even like, I want to bring Erica in so she could. I was okay because that part of it wasn't meant for me to know. Once it was complete, then it was okay. This is what we did. This. But you have to be okay with just putting that out there for people. Everything is not meant for you to know, and everything is not meant for you to understand when you're at war with someone or something.
Right.
And you're trying to win that battle for the greater good of the outcome of what you're trying to win, you have to be okay with it.
Right. And that's one of the things, you know, we're not a culture that recognizes that we're at war right now. And that's the biggest thing. I think, and it's something we talk about in the Independence Day Project. When you recognize that you're at war, your walk will be different. The way you move will be different. The way you love will be different. Because you'll walk out that door looking at somebody like, man, this might be the last time I see them. You know what I'm saying? I need to make sure I handle business. You know, you'll start appreciating the things and you'll start, you know what? One thing we'll recognize, we'll get over our petty shit real quick once you truly understand the circumstances that we're in. That is probably the biggest issue we have right now, is our trauma has caused us to be super petty when it comes to dealing with each other, dealing with the issues, dealing with the different things amongst us. And it's crazy because we really should be at a point right now where, as a community, recognizing like the recognition of the way things are happening towards us, we should be at a point where we're recognizing all of these different things. So, you know, damn, Eric, we didn't even get a chance to talk about the other stuff tonight, but I guess we'll talk about that next week, family. Because it's about, you know, we've been on the air for over an hour and we're about to wrap this up. We don't want it to be too long. But family, just understand something, y'all. Black love is worth fighting for. It's something that we should be moving towards. It's something we should be teaching. And if we're in a situation personally, this is just, you know, well, you know what? I'm going to save that for my final piece. Erica, any final pieces, any final parts as we roll out? Any final statements?
Yeah, I wanna say this. I don't keep up with celebrity news and gossip at all. But on my way to work, you know, I damn cool and we listen to different morning shows, Tom Joyner, Richard Smiley, and The Breakfast Club. And even my friend was trying to bring it to my attention the other day, and I had to let her know, I don't know anything about the thing about these folks' business. So tell my Braxton and her husband I get a divorce. And I did hear from bits and pieces when they do the gossip on these morning shows. Apparently, Tamar, Braxton's mom, who I can't stand, and I don't like her because she is so bitter about divorcing their father because she hates black men. And I often say to black women, you have to be weary of that black woman that's so heartbroken by her ex that she's willing to cost you your love life, right? And I've noticed that always about their mother back when I watched the first season of the show. Anyway, so she's on going from show to show saying how Tamar Hugg and this beat on Tamar, right? She's seeing the black eye, she covered up with makeup, blah, 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 blah. So this morning we were on the work, they were saying how Tamar said that Vince never put his hands on her, and everybody was like, well, he's out at her concert shows, and he's, they've been singing together, flying to her shows or whatever, right? And I'm saying this to say that Tamar Braxton's mom is what you get when you involve emotion and love and all of that. You get so bitter that you miss the business aspect of it. Now, whether he beat on her or not, I don't know. That's not my place. It's not my business. They'll work it out. Tamar, and what you're saying from her, is the business aspect. She had to tell her mother, wait a minute, you're stopping my money. Because if you saying this man beat on me, I got a kid with him. I could get alimony or whatever, whatever. I need this man to continue to make money so that he can continue to support me and my child. Because in the end, that's business, right? But then you got Tamar's mother on the other side. He beat on her. He did. He's violent. He's dead. We got to learn the difference between what's business and what's not business. Because since we don't know the art of wealth and business and making money and good business decisions, when the love is gone, we get hateful. We get bitter. Because in our mind, we think love and being in love is supposed to last a lifetime. Somewhere down the line, Tamar Braxton's mama could have lost her husband simply because, and this is just from what I could gather, she didn't know how to be a wife. And that's just from things I've seen with her on the show. She didn't know, she lost track and lost sight of how to be a wife to this man. And it was easy for someone else to swoop in and him to fall, quote unquote, in love with someone else. And now she is left old, bitter, and she hates men. So with that being said, we have to realize that love is gonna, being in love is gonna come and go. Find you somebody that you could love enough that you could build with. Because if we don't learn that, then we're gonna continue to forever see broken relationships. We're gonna continue to see women with multiple kids by different guys with different kids by different women. Because again, we're there for as long as we're in love, not for the long haul of building wealth.
That's important too. And look, I'm not gonna tell nobody to stay in a relationship they can the ass whoop. But
whether, oh no, that's definitely not what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. And I just wanted to clear that up. I don't want nobody to feel like we're saying no, take that ass whooping with that check. No, we're not saying that at all. But what we're saying is basically, you know, no false allegations, no harmful. You know, we shouldn't be in a situation where we're looking to hurt one another. And you know what they say, hurt people. And that's really what, you know, we want to get with tonight is don't go out in a relationship if you're not healed yourself. I'm not a relationship expert, but I have been in relationships. So one of the things I know is that you can't take laundry or you can't take your baggage from one situation to another. If you take your baggage from one situation to another, you're going to continue to incur the same problems because you're going to present that element yourself. If you don't trust people because your last person you dealt with cheated on you, you are going to cause an environment in your next relationship where you're going to push that other person to cheat on you or you're going to suspect them so much of cheating on you that you're going to be miserable around each other. You know, if you are dealing with people who have that they're in, learn warning signs to watch the red flags and get out. You know what I'm saying? Get out. The sooner you get out, the better, because the longer you get in, the more you get entrenched, the harder it is to leave. People start doing silly shit. Next thing you know, you're talking about a murder, suicide, a bloody love triangle going wrong. You know, we don't need that type stuff. We got enough problems being black, all right? Being black is enough problem. We have enough issues with just being black, man. Let's not bring more shit to the table. And in regards to, like I said, to the swirlers, I still got love for you. You're still part of the family, but you're like a distant cousin when it comes to how we, you know, share, you know, the information and this, that, and the other, because, you know, your commitment is to the person you're married to. So your ideology is tied into that. And most of the time, you know, your integration is key to what you're dealing with. And here at the House of Black Independence, we ain't really trying to be integrated no more. We're trying to step a spot away, because integration is nothing but assimilation for people without power. And so we want to gain and amass our own power, have our own power base, and then we'll be in a position. So we need the black family intact. You know, I don't get into the whole conversations about, you know, the LGBTQ, this, that, and the other, but just understand I am a proud supporter of straight, hetero, black family, period. You know, no disrespect to nobody else, still family. But family, we gotta, you know, we gotta deal with each other. You know, we gotta deal with each other. We gotta be real about nation building. So I'm about to check out of here, family. Once again, make sure y'all stay tuned. We got some dates on the calendar to come up. We're gonna be in Harlem. We're gonna be in Harlem two times in the next month. So January 27th, we're gonna be with the Celebrate Thy Brother. You know, our sisters are putting together a wonderful program. Sister Shanice Starr is one of the main contacts and creators of the program. She's not alone. I'm trying to remember everybody's name, but it's coming to me. I should have wrote it down like I did everything else tonight. So my apologies for the slip up. Blame it on the brain, blame it on the mind, not the heart. All right. But January 29th, I'll be taking a day off from class, and I'll be in Harlem for the in Harlem Liberation School, where we'll be unveiling and dropping on you the Independence Day Project. So family, make sure you check us out. You can follow us at www.blackindependence.org, blackindependence.org. And you can also follow us, family, on, you can also follow us on Facebook. I mean, not Facebook, see what I'm talking about. You can also follow us at the Freedom Train Radio.com, freedomtrainradio.com, where this broadcast is also being presented live. You can check us out at PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC.org. Also, another sponsor of the Independence Day Project. So, family, we got a lot. And I'm thanking everybody that took advantage of the promotion I was putting out there. I am putting together your promotions now. So I'm getting more people sending them in so that we can put those promotions in the front of the movie. So as people tune in and watch the Independence Day Project, they have to watch and see your ad first. So I just thank everybody that took advantage of that. We're winding down on that because time is of the essence, and we need to start getting some other things done. So with that said, family, we're going to roll out of here the same way we came in here. You know what I'm saying? Got love for my people. Shout out to my brother Smurf. This shit is hot. I've been listening to this in my car all day.
Yeah. I want it all for my people. That's why I stand tall for my people. I always go hard for my people. I do the links or just on the frog for my people. I raise my kids for my people. And hopefully they will live for my people. I build a bridge for my people. I build a foundation that can give to my people. I'm trying to unify my people. But it's a good plan for my people. I'm bringing understanding as a people. What we need to do to advance as is a people. Education and finance for my people. Knowledge and self-improvement plan for my people. You want us to live as a people and community, safe for kids and peaceful. Defining it, tumbled and lining it. Circle of strength and redefining it. Deep, no for my people, I will stand tall. Death for my people, I will stay. Not for my people, not the man, y'all. We fight to get down your day. No for my people, I will stand tall. Death for my people, I will stay. I'm in the lab for my peoples. Taking notes, checking facts for my people. The news try to distract and mislead you. Hoping that the hood overreacting, but we do. I'm just trying to live for my people. Be a whole lot of kids for my people. I don't disrespect or mistreat you. I say to my future kings and queens, to my people. I'm out of the swamp for my people. In the middle of the dark for my people. The pulse inside the heart for my people. Let's get this blood up and set the start for my people. I manifest for my people. What I say, I do confess for my people. No checkers on your chest for my people. I'm trying to teach us all to invest in our people. No, for my people, I will stand tall. Death for my people, I will stay. Man for my people, not the man, y'all. Keep fighting till you die in day. No, for my people, I will stand tall. Death for my people, I will stay. Now for my people out there, man, y'all. Keep fighting till you die today. One independence for my people. What's up, alliance and defense to my people? Cause we need to address and agree to break away from systems we assess that are evil. Because my people really need to rewrite the rules and all the law for our people. Control our own souls and police them. Live within the same community. Cause I want freedom for my people. That we created for ourselves, for our people. I'm freedom we can stand by and beat you. Not that stuff that will bullshit that they feed you. Acceptable perception for my people. No more accepting planted weapons to my people. No more repressing, can't afford to proceed to. Compromising loyalty and greed for my people. No for my people, I will stand tall. Yeah, that for my people, I will stay. Not for my people, not that man, y'all. Yeah, keep fighting till you die in day. No for my people, I will stand tall. Yeah, not for my people, I will stay. Not for my people, not that man, y'all. Yeah, keep fighting till you die in day. No for my people, I will stand tall. Not for my people, I will stay. Not for my people, not that man, y'all. Yeah, keep fighting till you die in day. Thank you.